So far, our mature size product, which is the most expensive product, we're running at about 40 to 50%. And of our juveniles, to date, we've been fortunate there's been nothing, but we certainly know it's coming and we're expecting between 80 and 100%. It's going to happen. The viral loading now is in the water, so we're just sitting here waiting. Unfortunately, it's a bit like a death by a thousand cuts. But at the moment, all we can do is just sit back and monitor and not touch our stock, look after it, try and keep it healthy. But reality is, yeah, we're going to be lucky to have anything left.
Of course, the fact that you've lost so much of your mature stock is your most valuable stock. Can you describe what's happening in lower pit water?
Yeah, so we went down there the first day after the other farm reported mortalities and saw nothing. After 4 days we went down, saw nothing, and we thought, maybe our stock might be okay. But then obviously the viral loading came across the bay, went in, some batches are 100% wiped out, other batches are only 10%, but, across the average it's going to be 40, 50%. But this virus just moves so quickly, and as my colleague in the Hawkesbury told me, he said, you can only relate it to a grass fire. It just moves through that quick.
Can you describe the oysters when they've got it?
They go from a living, healthy animal to within 24 hours struggling to survive. Within 48 hours, their meats, their shells are gaping, and within the next 24 hours, the meat's rotting. And within 3 or 4 days after that, the oyster shell's completely clean and gone.
James, where we're standing is underneath a pretty big oyster shed, and there are tractors with all your gear. It's eerily silent, isn't it? What are your immediate plans this week, next couple of weeks?
I suppose our workers, we're down to a skeleton crew now. We're about to put three young people on 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, we've had to put that on hold indefinitely. So I'm down to three staff instead of running six. And I suppose the scary part for me looking forward is when all this stock dies, I don't know how, but somehow we've got to pull this out of the water, and it is tens and tens of hundreds of tonnes of product that just have to come out, and that's going to be a daunting task. I'm not looking forward. That'll be a very difficult time in our business history. I mean, we're second generation farming. A lot of family stuff's gone into this, and I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Pulling out the shells and the infrastructure?
Yeah, removing all the baskets from the water, bringing the shells on shore. It's going to take a major effort to do that. And as I said, we haven't got our head around it yet. But that I know, we have to be thinking that way because it's going to happen.
James, is it too soon to say what it's cost?
For our business, it is. We're probably still another 2 to 3 weeks away from understanding that. But from our farm perspective, we probably were running about $1.6 to $1.8 million worth of stock. If we end up with $250,000, we're going to be doing well.
The longer-term view then, the industry here and with South Australia have invested a lot of time and money into a breeding program for POMS-resistant oysters. How hopeful are you that that will be the long-term future?
Well, that's our only hope now. I was probably one of the sceptics of that originally. I'm happy to put my hand up to and now say that that is my only hope. Time is critical at the moment. Between when we sell the remaining of our stock to restocking the farm with disease-resistant product and then waiting for that to grow to get cash flow, that's the critical point right now. So for me as a farmer, I always said if I could get stock, I could survive. So I just have to support the hatcheries with whatever they need, whatever I can do for them. It's not going to be a lot, obviously, but they're my future. If the hatcheries can't survive and can't produce a disease-resistant product, then I'm afraid I haven't got any future in this industry.
You're tuned to the Tasmanian Country Hour. We're talking with James Calvert about the outbreak of POMS in the Tasmanian oyster industry. We're talking cash flow, and we're talking about an industry that, how heavily geared would it be? Because that's the critical thing in keeping people in the industry surviving financially for the recovery.
Yeah, that's right, and that is going to be the critical issue in all of this, is how we survive from, as I said, the last oyster dying and us selling what's left to bring the new stock on and waiting for that to grow to get cash flow again. We're doing crunching the numbers now, if you like, and And we don't know exactly what the future holds, but we believe, unfortunately, there's just no other way of saying it, but we're going to have to have a major price increase to try and support the debt to get through. And this industry is probably about as heavily geared as most primary industries in Australia, so which is quite large, unfortunately, compared to the rest of the world. So there is a bit of debt hanging over the industry, and we have to work with the banks and manage that. There is a path developing through the haze, and as again, if we can sell our product for enough price whatever's left, that might just give us a chance to go through.
You said you're crunching the numbers. A significant price rise would help the industry survive?
Well, it's a case of if we don't, we won't. Yeah, unfortunately, it's everyone hates price increases. We hate giving it to them, but now it's got to the stage where we know we can't survive. Around the world where this has happened, in France and New Zealand, about 25 to 30% price increases occurred. I always struggled to see, you know, how they justified some of that, but now I completely understand. It's purely survival.